Okay, welcome everybody to the August meeting of the Pacifica National Programming Committee. My name is Jim Dingman, and we are convening an open meeting. This is the August August 20th meeting of the Pacifica National Programming Committee. And first of all, let me take the roll. I'm going to start with who's here and who isn't here.
Carol for the stack. Carol for the stack.
Yes, Carol.
I think we already
took
the role before.
Fine. Okay. Thank you. Well, then we're going to go to the agenda. So do people have comments they want to make on the agenda that was sent? Any comments? We already have discussed WBAI in a closed session. What we wanted to go to station roundups. So why don't we start with KPFA out in California? Carol and Donald?
Actually, I would like to move that we move on to the next topic of the election empowerment, voter empowerment, if we could, because we already kind of did a little of that, Jim, before you were on.
You did that on an open stream, though? All right. Do people feel that they'd like to just go into that? Okay.
That's
all right.
Good.
Fine. Let's go into the election empowerment issue. Carol, why don't you take the lead on that?
Well, I wanted to check in with Grace and see where things are with that. Grace, are you still on the call?
Yes, I am. I haven't heard anything lately, except I believe that Linda Perry and Katia Stitt from WPFW are working on voter empowerment, some voter empowerment programming, but I haven't heard anything about it in the last couple of weeks, and that's actually all I know.
Rob Sims to the stack. Grace, one of the issues here in Washington is the fact that our neighbor in Virginia is requiring IDs for people to actually vote. In other words, you'll show your legal ID card to get a ballot. And I don't think there's any way. I believe Virginia went ahead and litigated, not Virginia, but some organization went ahead and litigated that, and the state actually won. So when we do the pre-voter education type situation, that's one issue that we're going to actually concentrate on.
No, that's a good idea. That's awful.
Yeah, it's awful, but that's the reality.
Yeah, terrible.
Carol for this, Jack.
Go on, Carol.
So my question to all of you is, how is this going to be a national campaign? And if it is, how are we going to work together to, you know, actually contribute to this national project? In other words, each of us has things that we may track or something. Is anybody working on funding sources? Are we going to work individually at our stations and then maybe post it all on AudioPort? So I'm wanting to move beyond just individual issues, but move on to what is our structure for a national campaign around a topic, and how do we work together around that?
All right, anybody have any ideas about that?
This is Grace. I did hear one other thing that I'm just remembering, and that's that Ursula was working on this a bit. She's working on a related topic because she personally is in Iowa. And, of course, she's trying to put together interviewing the candidates, because the candidates are swarming into Iowa right now, and they will be there for a while. So there's the opportunity to actually get interviews with the Democratic candidates as they try to get support from people in Iowa. So, and I think she's meshing that with the voter registration effort. So that's, but that's all I know so far.
Jim Vistek, I would be, it would be interesting to actually pitch to these different candidates the idea to come onto the air and talk about, you know, give them an hour with somebody questioning them back and forth about their positions, and do it on a Pacifica station. You know, I'm sure someone like Sanders would do it. I don't know about Warren. Maybe she would. But it'd be certainly worth the effort to just simply send them, you know, approach their campaigns and say, and also do it with the Green Party people and the some of the more alternative political candidates. Have them on the air talking about what they what their positions are.
So who on?
Yeah,
go on.
Rob,
who's that? Go on, Rob.
No, go on, Rob.
Okay. When I'm doing my Virginia piece, I'm just curious. I'm thinking about these as real pieces, about maybe not even 5-6 minutes. These are going to be real stories about what's going on in Virginia and about people handing in their IDs to actually vote, because some people can't even afford an ID. And, I'm thinking pieces about maybe not even five minutes long. Is that all right? Would some stations be able to take it?
I hope so.
Carol, for the step.
Go on, Carol.
I love that you're talking about actually doing something, because I think that is the most important thing. So when people are doing things, then we need a way to keep track of and maybe make a request of Otis for AudioPort, that we have a place on AudioPort that's designated for our campaign where everything could be posted on that, you know, and just do it on time and just post everything that is produced on that section on AudioPort. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Perfectly. Just out of curiosity, if I put these pieces on AudioPort, how soon would we expect people to air them? Or better still, would we have Ursula send out a notice that pieces will be on AudioPort for stations to review and air?
I would think that it would be on AudioPort. Just we would be responsible for, people at the stations would be tracking, maybe send out one notice, you know, we're doing this campaign, information about the election, you know, you can upload on AudioPort and then people can download.
Right, that sounds good.
This is Grace. Can I?
Go on, Grace. Go
okay,
on.
Why don't we write a motion right now to organize this and suggest that all voter information and empowerment programming that's produced be have a repository on AudioPort, and that the repository includes a section for spots that are 5 minutes or less, 15 minutes or less, a half hour or less, an hour or less, so that, you know, if somebody wants to take a 1 minute spot, they can take that easily, or a 5 minute spot, you know. That should be very easy. And then a mechanism to advertise the existence of those individual pieces across the network and to the affiliate, to Ursula.
Grace, do we
need
a motion?
Do you want to write that, Grace?
Well, I think you know, I think it wouldn't hurt to have it, to write it, to approve it here, and to have it be on the agenda on Thursday night, because it could be part of a committee report. There's no reason not to reiterate something like this over and over again, as much as as often as it takes to get it to actually happen.
Well, why don't you write that motion, Grace?
Okay, or maybe somebody else wants to write it. Okay, I'll try. I'll make an effort to do it.
Well,
right now.
Go on. Go on.
Yeah, Rob seems to the stack. Out of curiosity, any other restrictive voting type laws in any of your markets?
What about down there in Texas?
Oh, yeah.
Wally and Wesley? Are you guys there?
Sorry about that. I had it muted. Oh, yes, definitely we have that here in Texas.
What is it, ID requirements, both?
Yes, ID requirements. And it's the same problem. There are people that can't afford to get it. It's definitely hurting, you know, some people when they want to vote.
Yeah, I was going to suggest that one thing, I know there's a motion there. Michelle had come up with some very excellent ideas for national days to observe. It may be too soon, but we have the 19th Amendment, anniversary of the 19th Amendment comes up on August 26th, the right to women to vote. And I think that that would be an easy way to sort of do a little light touch stuff on that issue, because it opens up so many different ways to do it. One problem I've had is that I have been completely absorbed in the elections in Pacifica. So I've had the energy to go in and start looking at this issue, which I will do when these things are finished. But I think that there are a lot of organizations around the country. I did approach the Brennan Center in New York. They sort of were a little interested, but I got to go aggressively in there and talk to them. But I have a feeling there's all these different organizations that would be very happy to work with us and come up with interesting, creative ways to deal with this issue of voting, because it's such a basic thing.
Rob sends to this back. I'm sure there are other states besides Texas and Virginia that do that ID and voting thing.
I actually scanned a list of all organizations around the United States that I haven't sent it out. I will that deal with these issues of attacks on the rights of people to vote. So I will scan that and send it out to y'all because it has a lot of information. There's all these organizations in the country, particularly in the South, that would be very worthwhile to reach out to and work with.
Yeah. Grace, my suggestion would be to call it voter empowerment.
Voter empowerment. Yeah. Empowerment.
Yeah, I am. I agree. It was in the original motion, too, voter empowerment, I believe.
Well, one thing I thought of when we were talking about this was the possibility of reaching out to ethnic radio stations, that is, ethnic stations that are basically like Chinese or Spanish, and ask them, particularly in the case of Chinese stations in New York, there must be, I would call up and say, look, do you guys have vote, get out the vote kind of stuff in Mandarin or Cantonese that are being played? These kind of radio stations are AM stations, but I thought that that'd be an interesting thing to reach out to these guys and say, are you doing this stuff? Could we help you? Could we work together? Because I could see that that could have an indirect effect on actually reaching out to other audiences beyond the audiences we have. Anyway. And right. Central American. I mean, this whole thing, because all of it, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, Rob on the stack here. I'm getting ready
Rob.
To I'm getting ready to go because I've been on the air all day. I want to thank you all, and I'll be getting back to you. Look for my emails. Take care.
Ron, oh, wait. Do you want to vote? Do you want to vote?
Just about finished with this motion.
I'll go.
Why don't I read
I'll
it to
on.
You? And just about finished with it. Okay. Whereas Pacifica station hosts, producers, and program directors are interested in producing programming to encourage voter empowerment and participation. And whereas voter empowerment programming may be of great interest to other stations and our affiliates, therefore be it resolved that, one, Otis McClay be tasked with creating a section of the audio port to be a repository for this type of programming, and that this repository be segregated into different parts, such as audio 5 minutes or less, 15 minutes or less, 30 minutes or less, and 60 minutes or less. Two, that Otis work on a short written explanation of how hosts can easily upload their shows to this repository. And three, that an automatic announcement about this repository and how to access it be sent to all program directors, general managers, for distribution to all hosts and producers.
I'm sorry, Carol Rob to the stack, add news directors too.
Add news directors, okay. News directors, general managers, and general managers for distribution to all hosts and producers, and that this announcement also be sent to the affiliate director, program director. All right?
Sounds good.
How's that? Is that enough? Any addition to this?
Anybody have any additions to this resolution? Going once, going twice. Any objections? All right, I assume it's passed unanimously. Okay.
Okay, I don't know who else is on this call, but I'm going to send it to who I think is on the call. Let's see, Michelle Manos. I've got Donald Goldmacher, Carol Wolfley, Robert Sims, James Sagerton, Wesley Bethune, Michelle Manos, Jim Dingman. Who else is on? Or... Anyway,
Wesley,
I have. Anyone
why don't
else?
You just send it to the whole committee?
Okay, well, because I don't know who's on the committee, but I'm going to send it to all of you, and you can pass it on to the rest of the committee.
All right.
And then, Jim, make sure you send this right away to Bill Crozier. So he can put the motion on the agenda for Thursday night.
Fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, gotta go. Good night.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. Okay, I'll volunteer to send it to Bill Crozier.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Carol.
Wonderful. Can you send it to the other members of the committee, too, that I don't know who they are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Are we finished with this particular item now?
I move to adjourn.
I got one more. Then we can adjourn. I wanted to sit there and talk about this motion that has to do. That is Michelle. Michelle, are you still on the line? Michelle Manos. All right. Anyway. There was a motion.
I have to go, everybody, but I will follow through on the other one, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Carol.
Bye-bye. The other motion I just wanted to send up there is a motion that has to do with days of, you know, different kinds of days we might think about collaborating with each other nationally. And the motion I sent out was sort of when Michelle, a few meetings ago, was talking about different days that we could think about collaborating with each other as much as possible to explore possibilities of national programming on the following days and months. And among them was Juneteenth, Malcolm X's birthday, International Workers' Day, International Women's Day, Election Day, Kwanzaa, Armistice Day, St. Patrick's Day, Indigenous Peoples Day, Earth Day, Hiroshima Nagasaki Day, Arbor Day, Eid, Dia de los Muertos, Dia de los Niños, International Indigenous Peoples Day, May Day, Nakba Day, 19th Amendment, International Holocaust Day, etc. And then some months. But the most important aspect of this was the end of it. To get this process jump-started, it will be the goal of the foundation to encourage all stations to collaborate and use the coming International Climate Change Meeting in New York City at the United Nations in September 2019 as an event to focus cooperation on nationally. I've just surveyed the events occurring in New York City that have to do with the International Climate Day in the United Nations. In fact, I may even suggest to people at the station there's a whole procedure to get press credentials to go to the main thing. But I personally think that we should be along the lines of what I talked about earlier with the idea of how national kind of programming in between marathons, if intelligently marketed, can actually strengthen all of us. And I think the question of the public affairs problems we were talking about, I think that this is something where we could collaborate and figure out ways to work together to do kind of joint operations, orally, on these kind of days. And that's what I wanted to put that motion out for. I sent that out to you guys a little earlier. Any comments or questions?
This is 50 years in October from moratorium, and in November, 50 years since mobilization. I read recently where at the end of 1969, Nixon was seriously considering using nuclear weapons in Vietnam. And apparently the immensity of that demonstration in November of over a million people in D.C. Played a major role in him deciding not to nuke Vietnam. So we should be aware of the power of the people, and it really does have an effect.
I should note that there is a whole conference occurring in Washington, D.C. on that very subject in November of this year. And that might be something that we could I'll send that to everybody. I know exactly who's organizing that. But the idea is to sort of, you know, think about these things. Because what struck me with the people who broadcast that Woodstock, now we're on the open stream, I'm talking about this openly, there were people at the University of Pennsylvania who got permission to broadcast the actual sets at Woodstock and did that as it happened 50 years ago. And what it did was it boosted their audience by 500% on their radio station. So I think that things like that, if we are creative and thinking about it, you know, we could do things together that could do that kind of thing.
Cliff to the stack.
Go on, Cliff.
Did Penn run like three whole days, 24/7 of the entire Woodstock?
They ran the entire Woodstock in the time where the sets occurred. We actually have someone on the line. It was at Woodstock. Although I gather Donald didn't hear the music that well that day, those days when he was there. But they actually went – so when Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young went on early in the morning, they played it like at 2 in the morning. It totally disrupted my sleep this weekend. But the sets were played, and they played them, and they got permission to play them, but the catch was you couldn't cachet the stream. So in other words, you know, someone, they weren't able to, you know, it was not to be cached because they had the legal copyright. But they, what they did was they played the entire sets, and it's something that we could do and probably do even better and more creatively. But it was really amazing. And they had like the kind of stats I mentioned. I called the program director up in Pennsylvania and found out what happened. That's what the guy said. He just said it was just a total success. And I personally think that a Pacifica station would be in a better position in some ways to get even better benefits from this.
Sure.
And so that's why I think this kind of stuff is like, it shouldn't, you preempt shows. That's why I put in a motion there to have shows continue to do their stuff digitally. But these are kind of things that we could do that would really kind of break out the whole cracked the wall, if you will, about, you know, the question of audience. At least I think so.
This is Donald for the SAC.
Go on, Donald.
Yeah, I pretty much support you, and obviously I was the doctor at Woodstock, who was relegated to the backwoods area, so I was not near the main stage and could not hear the music. That's a whole other story, which we can share another time. But the other idea I want to put forward, which I alluded to much earlier on before we were actually on the stream, is that I think that the movement of the 21st century right now that's beginning to accelerate is called the climate catastrophe. And I think there's no question in my mind, for what it's worth, and it's just my opinion, that if Pacifica could become the voice of the environmental movement, we would be seen as the go-to place for all things on the environment, which is analogous, if you will, to people listening to Pacifica during the whole period of the Vietnam War. And we had a huge listenership then. So I think we should really not just anticipate that this is what's happening. There's going to be a whole week of actions, September 20th to 27th. We should somehow find a way to cover all those actions using the skills of our five stations. And obviously, we're going to be heavily on New York and D.C.
This is Grace.
Go on, Jack, Grace.
Also. Yeah, I agree with Donald. I think we have had far too little environmental programming. Something like 80% at least of the population crossing political lines really cares about the environment. My only caveat would be I think we should be solution-oriented, because I personally find it very depressing and sad to watch, especially on TV, where you can see the audio of starving polar bears, et cetera. It's just the tragedy of it is so overwhelming that we need to have solutions embedded into any programming we do about the environment, because it's too grim. Just the problem of it alone should be tempered by what people can do about it. But I think that it is a major concern, and we should be doing a lot more programming around this issue. I agree with Donald.
Well, what I saw in New York, just looking at the events that are scheduled to happen, there are 10 open conferences in New York. Now, this is apart from what's going on at the United Nations, that are dealing with climate change that week. And one could, if planning was done ahead of time, at the very least capture the audio of those events and then put them into some form where people could actually listen to that stuff nationally. And audio port is one way to look at it. That's why I've always been arguing for video and audio streams at all the stations. But that because, you know, the question of preempting the normal shows is always a, you know, touchy one. But putting that up as additional content, I think, would be a valuable thing to do. And I agree with Grace. Solutions should be what we're looking at. Unfortunately, there's a lot of grim stuff that one has to deal with this issue.
Hi, this is Donald again. I'm sending to you, Grace, and to you, Jim, to share with the committee a link to what's called grist.org, which is all about solutions. So, you'll get this in a moment. And Jim, please share it with the committee.
I will.
And Donald, I looked again. You sent me a link to your video about voting.
Yeah.
And I couldn't open it. Can you send it to me again in a way that I can definitely open it?
Yeah, then, Jim, you were able to open it, right?
Maybe
I was
you can
able
send
to
it
open
to the
it.
Committee.
Send it to everybody, Donald.
Send it to everybody on this committee, because
Jim, you have the link, so why don't you send it to everybody? Okay.
All right. Why don't you send it to me again, Donald, and I'll send it again.
I will do that. Sure.
All right. But anyway, you guys, what's your feeling about this resolution to send up to the board?
It's good.
Is it? Yeah.
Very all right, good. Fine. Do we have any? Is any disagreement about it? No. Okay. Jim Sagatine, are you on the phone?
Yep.
All right, Jim. So you've got a resolution that we've just passed that Grace sent you, or we will send to you, and we have another resolution that we just passed on this that has to do with just cooperating with each other. And I think International Climate Day, that's a good first. We could do something. We could actually work together on this. And so those are two. As you guys know, I sent out a lot of resolutions that were passed in the previous programming committee. So I'm going to leave that up to Jim to sort of, you know, introduce them and sort of slowly work them in terms of discussions about policy. And anyway, but the election stuff I'm excited about, and I think the international climate thing I'm excited about too.
Jim, I'm not clear what you're asking me to do.
I'm asking you to, as the vice chair and a member of the PNB, I'm asking you to advocate or put in, we'll send it to Bill, but the resolution that we just passed concerning the election empowerment issue.
Mm-hmm.
And the other motion that I just sent, the issue of deciding to cooperate on national days that people can work together with. Those are the two resolutions that we'd like you to sort of play around with on the PNB on Thursday.
Okay, if we can get it on the agenda, that's good.
Right, right. All right. Is there anything else people wanted to add before we adjourn? Anything else?
Cliff has a question.
Go on, Cliff.
What percentage of time on your other stations do you devote to music, or does anybody have that? Like, we have three-fourths of our programming is music. I was just curious what percentages occurs in the other stations.
This is Donald for the stack.
Go on, Donald.
I can answer that. So from 6 a.m. to approximately 7 p.m. during the weekdays, all of our shows are public affairs and news. After 7 p.m., they're typically music shows throughout the night. And except for one show Sunday morning, all of our weekend is music. And those shows do well, by the way, during pledge drive.
And what station is that?
That's KPFA, sorry.
Okay, thank you. Well, that's important. I appreciate that.
Now, my understanding in Texas is that the fundraising is particularly slanted to the music shows. Is that correct? That the bulk of your money comes from music shows?
Yes, a lot of it does. What I was talking about earlier was the public affairs shows and how you have individual premiums. But yes, with the music shows, they do give away tickets and they give away CDs.
Go on.
You know, I was just looking at what we had been sent out about shows that made their goals, and you have days where hardly any shows make their goals. So that's including the music shows. It's not saying that they're not raising a good bit of money, but what I'm saying here, it's not saying how much they make, just whether or not they make their goal. But yes, I would say the bulk of the money that is raised with those music shows.
Well, what about at PFW? We know PFW, I think, isn't that also slanted to music, as I understand it?
Yeah, ours is three-fourths of our programming is music at PFW.
Yeah.
And the music is what brings in the money.
I know at BAI, the largest show that has an audience close to 7,000 is a music show on Sundays that's been on the air for quite a long time, and it basically deals with popular music, like sort of Frank Sinatra, you know, that kind of music. And in terms of monetization, it certainly is not equal to the health premiums, but it has the largest audience of any shows. And I think in one email earlier, I was asked about why the overnight shows do so have large audiences, and they tend to be music shows. I think Donald sent me that. They tend to be music shows, and it's very different here in New York. When they music shows make money, it usually is the Latino shows go out and they set up live events. Then they will make a certain amount of money. But I don't think, and that's a weakness at the station, we don't have the kind of relationship, from what I understand, that was evolved in Texas, where you guys sort of have been cultivating groups for quite a long time, for a couple of decades, if I recall. That's how it's been explained to me in Texas. And that doesn't seem to be the case here in New York.
Yeah, it was that way. I wouldn't say it's that way now.
It's not that way now. I see we have a cat giving their opinion, too. Anyway, and what about Los Angeles? Grace, isn't that more that's basically Christine Blasdale, isn't it?
Who brings in money?
Yeah, how's the income brought in KPFK?
Yes, Christine brings in between 40% to 50% of the income, and we have other hosts who also promote health type premiums. They do very well. The political programs don't do as well, by and large. Although Ian Masters, who probably has the highest listenership of any of our shows, is a significant fundraiser, but in the political and public affairs realm. He has a 5 o'clock show 4 nights a week, evening drive time. Margaret Prescott also brings in with political programming a certain amount of money, but by far the most amount of money consistently per hour, the highest amount per hour, is brought in by Christine and by other people offering health and self-help type of premiums.
And why do you feel that's the case?
I think it's the case because progressives, I hate to say it, but progressives are maybe hardcore progressives who really are religious about it, kind of, or have a strong affiliation with progressiveness and left politics, are maybe 3% of our demographic in Southern California. But everybody has a body. I don't know of anybody who's not concerned about their own health and well-being, or the health and well-being of their children or parents or spouse. So I think it's just a much broader demographic. I think that's why environmental programming would probably bring in more listeners to our stations, because that concern about the environment crosses all demographics. There's hardly anybody who's not concerned at this point about the climate. I mean, especially in California, where we're feeling it viscerally.
Right.
And we had those fires. It was really frightening. I mean, I was many miles away from the fires myself. Mm-hmm. My husband and I, we weren't ever going to be impacted by the fires, but we had to stay indoors for 2 days because the air was so bad from the smoke.
Right.
And, you know, we started to worry about our property values going to plummet in Southern California, because our parts of the more rural areas of Southern California or more suburban areas of Southern California are going to become unlivable and unattractive, because there's fires, and then after the fires, everything is denuded, and then you have rains, and the rains cause mudslides. So we had a double whammy with fires circling L.A. We had two major fires in the Southern California area, and then Northern California was really heavily impacted. So it's not only a national issue, but it's for all coastal regions. It's a local issue. And people really want to talk about it because it's a vital concern to lots and lots of people. So this is a way to bring in more listeners and open up our airwaves to a lot larger demographic.
This is Donald for the Stack.
Go on, Donald.
Yeah, I just want to amplify on what Grace just said. First of all, I sent Grace and Jim links to two pieces. One was the leading framer of right-wing ideas, Frank Luntz, literally testified before the Senate recently because his South and Southern California almost burned to the ground. And he was doing the framing against he was just doing the framing around climate denial for the Republicans. And he went before the Senate and said, I'm wrong. I really regret this. And here's the framing you should be using to mobilize people for climate action. This is a right-wing Republican who was the right-wing genius of framing for the last several decades. So, Jim, you can share that with the rest of the committee, which I think would be very useful. And the other point is in Northern California last November, when the fires happened up north, it was a disaster here for 2 weeks. You couldn't go outside pretty much. So it wasn't a couple of days, it was a couple of weeks. So it's real, it's palpable. Farmers are experiencing and with flooding in the Midwest. So this is, and by the way, we're not just talking about our five stations here. We're talking about 220 affiliates across the country who would run with this stuff in a heartbeat.
I'm just curious, Wally and Wesley, how's this affect? How's global climate change? Well, obviously, what happened down in Houston?
Houston? Yeah.
That hurricane.
Harvey.
Harvey, what's the perception about people about this that you get from on the ground there?
May I speak? This is Wesley.
Yes, sir. Go on, Wesley.
Well, I think we have a lot of refineries and oil production and that sort of stuff, and I don't think they cotton to too much of this climate hoax stuff. However, you know, you could pitch it that Trump is a visionary entrepreneur as he's trying to buy Greenland, because in 40 years as Florida submerges, that's going to open up some prime real estate. It could be our new Miami Beach. Just imagine palm trees and polar bears drinking pina coladas with the Inuit, you know.
And all the natural resources in those mountains of Greenland that would be available, I think that's why you want to buy it.
Just loaded with minerals. But the Danes aren't going to let it go. We'd have to take it from them. Okay, through. I'm sorry. That was a joke.
Good job. I move we adjourn.
I move we adjourn, too. All right, thank you, guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Jim.
Thank you. Good meeting, Jim.
Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
I'm going to call you right away on these two matters, two resolutions.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.